Hello, and welcome to Glory Glasses Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. This is episode one. This has been a long time coming. God laid this on my heart months back, and my good friend Brandy Dowdy volunteered to be my first guest. God's timing's perfect. Brandy and I sat down months back, but yet today, in the midst of our pandemic, her testimony and the words of scripture we discuss are perfect in this moment of our lives. Thank you for listening. And remember, God's timing is perfect, and He is here with us. Even though our time looks dark, the light is present. I hope you enjoy.
I'm sitting in my home with the sweet Brandy Dowdy. I am fortunate enough to have Brandy as my neighbor and my friend. Thank you, Brandy, for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me. It seriously is an honor that you would ask me to be a part of this.
Well, this is something that God has kind of spurred on my heart. Mm-hmm. I have a burden to, teach people how to see God's glory in their story. And so we've kind of evolved into a podcast.
Yeah.
No idea what I'm doing, and Brandy agreed to be my first guinea pig.
That's right.
We are here together figuring it out. So thank you guys for listening. Girls trip.
All right.
And I want to ride shotgun with you and let our listeners ride shotgun with you as well. And just kind of take us down the scenic route of your testimony.
Okay. So, if I'm driving, then you need to have your seatbelt on.
Okay, safety first.
I actually grew up here in Dothan, Alabama, born and raised, lived here my whole life. I went to a little county school, Slocum High School, from kindergarten all the way through. So, I was with that cohort, if you will, for 13 years. And so, I've just made some really good friends. It's kind of neat because actually one of the ladies that I grew up with is now in our church. It's like, we just have this really long history. She's known me more than anybody else outside of my parents.
Slocum is typical small town USA.
It really is. Now, we didn't actually live in Slocum, but just inside Geneva County.
Gotcha.
So I was connected through the school, but not necessarily in the town itself.
Yeah.
So born and raised there, played sports all throughout my life, and I was the youngest of two children. I have an older brother. He's about 4.5 years older than me. My parents, godly parents. I was raised in church. And just a lot of country roads. I was definitely a tomboy. I still consider myself a tomboy. Give me a ball hat, t-shirts, and a t-shirt. And I'm good to go. I prefer that climbing trees. Now, if I had to climb a tree right now, I would probably break a bone. But, that's a little bit of kind of where I grew up.
Yeah. Well, reading, I didn't know about this. We've known each other now 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and I did not realize we share some similar parts of our story. Mm-hmm. Tell me, about your salvation experience. I think your brother's salvation kind of led to yours, and that's the same as mine.
Right.
So tell us about that.
So he and I are really close. He was about 4.5 years older than I was, which I mentioned earlier. And I just was like on his heels. Like I was one step behind him. Everything he did, I was right there doing it too, even though I probably should not have been because, you know, it was quite dangerous at times. But I saw him have a real encounter with the Lord, and it just kind of piqued my interest. Like, again, I never remember not knowing Jesus as far as knowing that God existed.
Yeah, same
but you
here.
Know you had that moment like, whoa, this is mm-hmm. there's more than just believing like that Santa Claus exists mm-hmm. or
right.
the Easter Bunny, you know, because I think up until that time it was like, it's just you're told that that's what it is and you just accept it at face value. But when I saw him have a real encounter, it just really piqued my interest and made me kind of start leaning into the Lord a little bit more and like, okay, if he's signing off on it, then I think it's okay for me too.
Yeah.
And just really asking the Lord, okay, like I want this to be a part of my life. Not just to know that God exists, but to allow Him to Lord my life. And there's a major difference between the two.
Yes. Interesting. My story is that I was saved at 8 years old and best I can figure
mm-hmm,
out.
Right.
And my brother had made a decision and the pastor came to talk to him about it. And I kind of got in there to hear. So my brother's salvation experience kind of opened the door for mine as well. So that's
cool.
Kind of neat.
That really
we share
is
that.
Cool.
OK, Okay, so if I were to ask you, as we were going along memory lane, to kind of explain to our listeners how God's Word has really impacted your life, and if you could just go down your timeline of your story and kind of assign a Bible verse mm-hmm. or scripture to that season of your life. Mm-hmm. Could you just kind of walk us through that?
Sure. The Word of God has been instrumental in my life. I grew up going to the Assembly of God Church, and there were these things called missionettes. And so I was involved in missionettes. My mom served as a prims teacher, which I'm not sure exactly what age grade, but it's elementary school girls. And I remember, honestly, at the time, hating it because it just felt like school on Wednesday nights. And so, but I had to memorize scripture. And in the moment, I was just kind of like, I really don't like this. But I committed that to memory. And then I remember stumbling across a verse that said, "These words have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against God." And I was like, well, this probably is really important. I didn't gather at the time what I was actually doing, that it was putting those things in my heart so that the Holy Spirit could bring to remembrance
right.
whenever I was in a situation, keep me from harm, giving me wisdom on various things He's already instructed in the Word that I didn't really realize or be able to connect until I was in a situation. I would say growing up as a kid, I was quite the people pleaser. I wanted to do right. Almost to fault, you know, mm-hmm. rule follower, whatever. Even in my walk, I think I got really legalistic at times of really just wanting to please God. And I just found myself just following a bunch of rules, not even really embracing His love. And that's really easy to do if you're just a rule follower and wanting to do everything the right way. But I remember at about 11 or 12, I would say that God just really captured my heart. And there's a verse in Song of Solomon that says, "You've captured my heart." Mm-hmm. And I would say that's kind of where it started. When you can get somebody's mind, but when you get their heart, you follow because you love. Not because you know, but because you really love. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And Him capturing me at such a young age and me really realizing that I'm not just doing this because I know God and it's what I'm supposed to do because I'm a Christian, because I really love God and I want to please Him. And then I would say I found myself in really interesting situations where I became like a leader at a very young age. I was a band captain when I was in the ninth grade.
Oh.
I was voted band captain.
I can see that.
I don't know why.
I can see that. You're a leader.
But just thinking about in 1 Timothy, you know, it says don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example of believers in, you know, word, conversation, speech, all of those things. So that was one, I guess you could say, is I just found myself in these leadership roles all along the way where I was really young to have that kind of leadership. But I was like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm just going to go with it because I believe that God places people in positions of leadership no matter what that leadership position actually looks like. And then now, because I guess you don't know me, if you're listening to this, kind of where I am now and what I do, I'm a counselor at a community college, but my husband and I are pastors of a church here locally. And so, you know, you learn a lot in ministry and all the things that we've talked about prior to just leading up to childhood, from childhood, plays such an intricate part, laying that foundation that you just find yourself standing on. I actually heard a quote from a podcast, because I'm a podcast gal. I listen to them all the time. So it was actually one I heard yesterday, and it was a Charles Spurgeon quote. It said that, and I hope I don't butcher this, but it's, "I've learned to kiss the waves that crash me into the rock of ages." And it just caught me. And it just, like, it stuck with me. And I was like, I've learned to kiss the waves that crash me into the rock of ages. And I was like, okay, when I have been taken under by some waves. I like the water at the beach. But when you get carried under, your feet are swept out from underneath you. And you are at the mercy of wherever that wave wants to take you.
Yeah.
And I just think about trials and things that come up in our life. It just will smash you into what? Into who? The rock.
That's right.
And I'm like, no matter what comes at me, I know there's a security that I'm going to crash into the rock of ages every single time because He's already written my story. Mm-hmm. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end of all things. And I'm
it kind of reminds me of when God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and His glory passed by.
Yeah.
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 So God was preparing you long ago to be a leader.
Yep.
And we see that now in our community.
Yeah.
She's even a leader on our road. But, yeah, that's good. Do you have another verse?
Yeah, I do. It's in Philippians. It talks about be anxious about nothing but in everything in prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present your requests to the Lord, and let the peace that passes all understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that is my favorite verse of all times because, you know, things are scary sometimes. You don't know what to do. Well, you present it to God with thanksgiving, and He just takes care of it. He does the miraculous. He gives us peace when we shouldn't feel peace.
Yeah.
He gives us, you know, supernatural wisdom and how to lead people or how to, you know, do our jobs well. You know, He just does it, and it's not on us. It's absolutely Him because it's supernatural.
Well, let me ask you this. Anxiety is something that is so prevalent in our area. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk in big church words, and that scripture is something that particular one is so many people encourage others by it, and so many people hang on to that. What does that look like practically in your story?
Mm-hmm.
How do you be anxious for nothing?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it's looking and knowing that there's security in Christ Jesus. There's security. And, I mean, is there times where I'm scared? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, when I take time to pause and put things in perspective through those glasses, like we're talking about, that I see, okay, my perspective is really off. And I'm afraid. I know that fear is not of God.
That's right.
That is the enemy. And I know that perfection is, perfection is the enemy of consistency.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm having to be perfect here. I don't have to be perfect.
That's
I just
right.
have to be obedient to the Lord because obedience is better than sacrifice. And so I'm like, okay, all these things just start weaving this beautiful tapestry that's like, okay, I get it. When my perspective's off, it's going to look like fear.
Yeah.
It's going to look like anxiety.
Yeah.
I've got to take time, get in the Word, and realign myself. Maybe it's calling my friend and saying, hey, I'm afraid here, or I'm feeling a little bit anxious here.
Yeah.
I need some perspective. I need you to remind me who I am. I heard somebody say before that it was at a conference, I believe, is you need a friend that will remind you the song of your heart when you forget it.
Oh, that's good too.
And I'm like, oh,
all these good quotes today.
I know. But it's just, those are things that just kind of come up when I'm talking about this stuff. I'm like, you got to have that friend.
You know,
it's gonna remind
I was just
you.
Thinking today because someone had asked me to pray about somebody that has been anxious. And I thought, you know, as Christians, we can't look like we have it together. Like you said, perfection.
Mm-hmm.
We have that same anxious instinct.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when we stop and when we can see God in our life, His glory there, with those supernatural spiritual glasses the Holy Spirit gives us is what kind of calms us.
Yeah. And I mean, people connect more to brokenness than they do to perfectionism. So if you're wanting to draw people to Christ, show them your broken moments. Show them where things were not okay. Show them where you walked before and let them into that place. So it's
Speaking of life not being perfect, I know we share another similar part of our stories. My older brother passed away as a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
And during his death, I was present and kind of the one that had to be in charge and kind of explain to others. Tell me, tell our listeners how God equipped you to handle a tragedy in your life.
So I am a counselor. So that's one. I didn't even, you know, you go into counseling. I went into counseling because I felt like the Lord had told me. Actually, I know He did to pursue that. Never really thought that it would be something that He would. I mean, obviously, I know He's going to work everything for His glory. But like on a personal level, you don't ever think going into counseling that you almost have to counsel yourself.
Yeah.
Allow the Holy Spirit to counsel you.
Yeah.
But my brother actually died in a single car accident. It was on the weekend of Father's Day. He just dropped my dad off some ribs that he smoked, and he was driving back. It's a road we traveled thousands of times.
Mm.
So it's just one that's right down the street from my parents' house. Mm. He didn't live very far from them either. But so he passed. He single car accident. We don't know what happened. My husband and I was our first year of marriage in 2008, and we had actual young adults over at our house for our meeting. There was about 20 or so over at the house. I get a phone call from my sister-in-law, who I think it is. her phone. So I answered the phone. I was like, hey, April, what's going on? They're like, no, this isn't April. There's a car wreck outside of my house. This phone flung into my yard. I picked it up and called the first number there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm thinking that it's my sister-in-law who just had a baby recently. So I'm like, is there a baby in the car? Have you called 911? All these things. So I tell my husband, and he packs up stuff, and there's a guy who's on the fire department that went with him to the scene. So I'm there. I just go outside, and I just leave everybody, and I'm just praying. I'm pacing and praying. I'm like, God, you know, whatever's going on. Then my husband calls me and says, hey, it's not April. It's Ryan. That's my brother. And I just remember that devastation moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry.
It's okay. Whenever you're ready.
I mean, it broke me down.
Yeah.
You know, then you have all these young adults that are there, and you're their pastor.
Yeah.
And they see you in this weak moment. And I believe that's one area that the Lord used.
Yeah.
You know, he saw, you know, all the people saw you meet me in my lowest.
Yeah.
And that I'm so thankful because a lot of times people don't see that.
Right.
You know, in a leader, they don't see the lowest, the broken, the broken parts. And that's the part that the Lord redeems and restores. But anyways, okay, moving on, John's dad ended up coming and picking me up. I didn't know if he was, I just knew he was in the wreck.
Right.
And it was silence in the vehicle.
Gotcha.
And I just looked out the passenger window, and I said, he didn't make it, did he? He said, no. It was just kind of coming to grips.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a person you've never not known there,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I remember driving up to the scene, and I don't know, it was supernatural. It was just the Lord. I just had clarity.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's gone. I'm about to pull up to my parents.
Yes.
Who were not okay.
Right.
Just not. But somehow, in that moment, call it adrenaline, call it, because I believe that the Lord gives us these things.
I
believe
that,
you know, these processes of stages of grief, denial, well, it's because you don't need to feel all those emotions at once.
That's
like,
right.
And adrenaline, all these things. That's not just because our minds are like that. It's because God created us that way.
Yes, yes.
And so I remember seeing my parents and just embracing them. And the whole time we had to go over to my sister-in-law's house, which is where my niece were, and my nephew, and tell them. So that was a whole other thing. And then my niece, as a result of that, actually came to live with us for a while, John and I. But in the moment and through the process, like, my parents were not able to do the funeral stuff. They just couldn't handle it.
Right.
And my sister-in-law, no.
Right.
So, I picked out all the things. I'm so thankful. God just knew, because that was my first year of marriage. I needed my husband.
That's right.
You know?
I know.
So I was like,
perfect timing.
How cool is that? So I walked through all of that with them, and I remember calling one of my closest friends, and I was like, is it okay that I'm okay? Like, how am I okay? Like, it just baffled me that I was really okay. I'm like, can I really have gone through grief that quickly?
Yeah.
Could I really have come to that place of really being okay?
Well, I'm just thinking of the leadership God prepared you for before, because he knew you were going to need to be a leader to your family as well.
I mean, it was seriously unbelievable. And she's like, Brandy, I think so. I said, now I may, and being the counselor, I'm like trying to process through this. I might years down the road have to drudge up stuff and revisit it, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just remember being absolutely okay. And even doesn't sound like it, but even now,
oh, with grief lasts forever.
I'm just like, gosh.
Yes, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. You know, if God goes before us, there's evidence he's there.
That's right.
And that's what you were seeing, is that calm and peace that you were able to do those things.
Yeah.
And I have shared a similar role in family times.
Yeah.
Is that so my heart kind of goes out to you to have that weight on you, but I'm thankful God equipped you to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're getting to the end of our road trip.
Okay.
And we've seen a lot of God's glory in your story. But if you could back up and tell that little girl at 8 years old, when she got saved, if you could give her any amount of wisdom or advice or clarity, what would you tell the 8-year-old Brandy that just received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior?
Mm-hmm. Good gracious. What an adventure. Like, what an adventure. Saying yes to all the things that he tells you to do. Knowing his voice. Knowing the word of God. And as we were talking before we even press record, how important it is. We've got to know the word because it's his word, and that's how he still speaks to us.
Yes.
And it keeps us from all the things that we might find ourselves getting into, and protects our hearts, protects our minds. It just keeps us grounded. And to hold on tight, hold on to the promises, hold on to truth, know truth, and don't say no so quickly. Just because something might make me uncomfortable, I have a tendency
like a podcast,
you know, or like a conference, or like a just fill in the blank. I don't know what God has for me. You don't know what the next thing God has for you. But it's just because it makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not God.
That's right.
Because he will. He'll make us uncomfortable over and over again to rid us of our flesh and help us to trust him more so that glory can be seen. Because if it was me, I would have counted myself out a long time ago.
Amen, girl.
I struggled
Amen,
with
sister.
Some serious self-esteem, but I just really felt like I was invisible, that nobody saw me, just intimidated all the time with church people. Wasn't like that at school, but with church. And so I just knew that was the enemy's plot.
Mm-hmm.
If I would just tell myself, no, rise up.
Rise up.
And then the Lord actually used the book, John Bevere's book, Breaking Intimidation. When I was in middle school, I read it, and it just broke serious chains off of my life. And it was unbelievable what that did. It even allowed me to take stances all throughout school that were really hard, but were worth it.
Yeah.
So that little girl, I would say, you keep being obedient, you keep saying yes, and just watch and see what God's going to do with your life.
Yes.
And the testimony that you're going to have.
Well, the verse, unmeasurably more than we can imagine, comes to my mind as you say that. You know, that's to the little girl.
Uh-huh.
And now, what would you say? How do you prepare your testimony for your future?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say? What are you doing today that will influence your testimony tomorrow?
Yeah, what a great question. I am a disciplined person. People look at my life and go, oh, you're just so disciplined. It's because I just have to be. I just know myself, and I know when I'm my best. You know, mm-hmm. when you find the things that work for you, the way God designed you to be, and all, even down to the food you eat. I know that just sounds silly, and the exercise that you get when we are good stewards of our body. Those things are important to me. It's something I incorporate in my everyday life. I get up really early. I study the word. I just started back over reading the Bible. You know, again, it's every time. I mean, I'm in Genesis, just reading the Old Testament. I'm like,
oh
did I see that again? Have I not seen that before?
It's like little hidden things just kind of God puts in there, like years later.
Yes.
You're like, I've read that 1,000 times. I've never seen that.
Over and over again. And I actually have a friend who recently, we were just chatting. She was like, yeah, I memorized, just in talking. It wasn't a boastful thing. She's like, yeah, I memorized the book of James. And I'm like, excuse me?
Wow.
She said, you don't understand. I had to. And I'm like, I need to revisit that story at some point. I need to know why. And so I had already been convicted because as a kid, I memorized a lot of scripture. But as an adult, I just really didn't, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
So it was about the same time that I was feeling conviction about it. And so I started trying to memorize James. And I'm telling you, it has transformed my adult life even. It's unbelievable how much we forget how alive the word is. And I'm just seeing things.
The power of it.
I'm telling you.
God just uses at the moment that we need it.
At the very moment. And so that's what I would say is the immeasurable. God exceeds our expectations. I'm excited about what he's going to do in my future, my family's future, and the future of the church. In your future, I just see the people around me, and I just know that God's got huge plans, more than we can ever, you know, dream of. But if we got to keep saying yes, it's yes in the small things. Because when we're faithful in the little, God will entrust us with so much more. And so I just want to keep being obedient, one little step at a time. If that's getting up every morning and doing those little things behind closed doors that nobody sees and knows about.
And 10 years down the road, your testimony will speak of that diligence.
That's true.
Obedience.
Yeah.
I know it will. It'll be even more powerful. Well, thank you. I know our listeners have been encouraged mm-hmm. by your testimony, because I have. And they know why now you're one of my friends, I know. I get to have her as my neighbor, so it's great. I can just say, hey, come have a cup of coffee
we
get time, or walk the road. Thank you for joining us, and you are evidence of Revelations 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I pray that you heard something today that will minister to your hearts and equip you for whatever lies in your present time, and in your future, and maybe even in your past. Thank you for joining us.
Wow, that really happened. Thank you so much for joining us for the first ever episode of the Glory Glasses podcast. And thank you, Brandy, for being so patient with me and sharing your heart to our listeners. Well, for all you techno people, you might need to go take a nap. You're probably worn out. We're learning as we go, and God has been faithful to show us. Bear with us and tune in next time. Thank you so much.